Chapter 51. As the Brissago Council came to realize that what it had supposed to be temporary camps of refugees were rapidly developing into great towns of a new type, and that it was remolding the world in spite of itself, it decided to place this work of redistributing the non-agricultural population in the hands of a compacter and better qualified special committee. That committee is now, far more than the council of any other of its delegated committees, the active government of the world. Developed from an almost invisible germ of town planning that came obscurely into existence in Europe or America, the question is still in dispute. Somewhere in the closing decades of the 19th century, its work, the continual active planning and replanning of the world as a place of human habitation, is now, so to speak, the collective material activity of the race. The spontaneous, disorderly spreadings and recessions of populations, as aimless and mechanical as the trickling of spilt water, which was the substance of history for endless years, giving rise here to congestions, here to chronic devastating wars, and everywhere to a discomfort and disorderliness that was at its best only picturesque, is at an end. Men spread now, with the whole power of the race to aid them, into every available region of the earth. Their cities are no longer tethered to running water and the proximity of cultivation. Their plans are no longer affected by strategic considerations or thoughts of social insecurity. The aeroplane and the nearly costless mobile car have abolished trade routes. A common language and a universal law have abolished a thousand restraining inconveniences, and so an astonishing dispersal of habitations has begun. One may live anywhere. And so it is that our cities now are true social gatherings, each with a character of its own, and distinctive interests of its own, and most of them with a common occupation. They lie out in the former deserts, these long-wasted sunbaths of the race, they tower amidst eternal snows, they hide in remote islands, and bask on broad lagoons. For a time the whole tendency of mankind was to desert the river valleys in which the race had been cradled for half a million years, but now that the war against flies has been waged so successfully that this pestilential branch of life is nearly extinct, they are returning thither with a renewed appetite for gardens laced by watercourses, for pleasant living amidst islands and houseboats and bridges, and for nocturnal lanterns reflected by the sea. Man who is ceasing to be an agricultural animal becomes more and more a builder, a traveler, and a maker. How much he ceases to be a cultivator of the soil, the returns of the redistribution committee showed. Every year the work of our scientific laboratories increases the productivity, and simplifies the labor of those who work upon the soil, and the food now of the whole world is produced by less than 1%. Of its population, a percentage which still tends to decrease. Far fewer people are needed upon the land than training and proclivity dispose towards it, and as a consequence of this excess of human attention, the garden side of life, the creation of groves and lawns, and vast regions of beautiful flowers, has expanded enormously, and continues to expand. For, as agricultural method intensifies, and the quota is raised, one farm association after another, availing itself of the 1975 regulations, elects to produce a public garden and pleasance in the place of its former fields, and the area of freedom and beauty is increased. And the chemist's triumphs of synthesis, which could now give us an entirely artificial food, remain largely in abeyance, because it is so much more pleasant and interesting to eat natural produce, and to grow such things upon the soil. Each year adds to the variety of our fruits, and the delightfulness of our flowers. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.